Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy. Thank you for joining us and welcome to All Sides Weekend. This is our arts and culture edition where we talk about the people and the events that are shaping the arts in Central Ohio. And boy, do I have a show for you today. We welcome Chad Whittington, who is the CEO of Kappa. They are probably our area's certainly major presenter, running all of the theaters downtown and elsewhere, keeping downtown lit up and keeping marvelous shows and productions available throughout Central Ohio. Julia Newlin-Mera is here. She is the artistic director and boss of Opera Columbus, and she is opening tonight at the Southern Theater a new production of The Threepenny Opera by Bertolt Brecht and Kurt Weill. And there's a lot of buzz about this show, a lot of exciting buzz about this show, so I would get tickets quickly. And I am delighted to welcome a new friend. Elias Miller is new to Columbus. He is hardly new to music. He is the associate conductor of the Columbus Symphony, named just this past fall. He is also one of the founders and the conductor of the Apollo Ensemble in Boston and has already worked as a conductor internationally. So I welcome you as well to All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. Julia, let's try to sell a few more tickets. Why don't we? First of all, yes. The Threepenny Opera opens tonight. Mac the Knife and what else? Tell us about the show you've got at the Southern tonight and Sunday afternoon.
It's an incredibly exciting production. So not only is it opera, but it's highly theatrical. And also, if you love musicals, this is the show for you. The cast is sexy. They sound incredible. The chemistry is incredible on stage. Very excited. And we're also collaborating with the Columbus Symphony. So they're in the pit playing this really wonderful jazz music while we're performing.
You said jazz. That's pretty accurate. This, I believe, first saw the light of day in 1929 or 30 at the in the dying days of the Weimar Republic, when horrible things were brewing in Germany at the time, but not quite at the boiling point yet. So there was a lot of potential angst and a potential drama going on, and I think the public probably, what do I know, needed some kind of diversion. How much of it was a mirror to the times, and how much of it was strictly entertainment?
It's exactly what you described. It was a little bit of both, but I also think it's incredibly relevant now, post-election time. It just couldn't have fit better in her season. And it is now in the public domain. So what's really exciting about that is we can change a little bit some of the words to be more relevant to now.
So I believe the genesis of this was the Beggar's Opera, which comes from 18th century London, which is about the underbelly of life.
Yes.
You know, there are people with, shall we say, the world's oldest profession, and there are people who partake of that profession and around that profession, and what they used to call highwaymen. What are we going to see and hear?
Well, you're going to hear a lot of songs that you already know, so like Pirate Jenny, Mac the Knife, the Barbara song. So a lot of songs that are covered from example, like Louis Armstrong that you're used to. You're going to realize, oh, it all comes from this opera. So I think people are going to be really incredibly surprised. The other thing that we love doing is creating an audience experience. So if you come 45 minutes before the show, you can actually enter the seedy world of Threepenny Opera.
Oh, sign me up, yeah.
So, you know, and come to the Bourbon Bar, enjoy a fabulous cocktail, and then there's some magic acts. There's also roaming performances throughout the audience, so... It's a full evening.
Julia Newlin-Mera from Opera Columbus. Their production of The Threepenny Opera opens tonight at the Southern Theater with repeats Sunday at 2 o'clock. Dr. Everett McCorvey is your conductor.
Yes.
I believe has a new position with the company. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yes. So in February, we named him our inaugural principal guest conductor.
Fantastic.
He's absolutely incredible. He started so many different ensembles and choral groups internationally, actually. But the other thing that's really incredible that I think Columbus as a city we should be very proud of is that he is the first Black principal conductor in U.S. history of an opera company. So in 2024, that's a big deal.
It's a big deal for Columbus. It's a big deal for Opera Columbus. And I know for our listeners on this edition of All Sides Weekend, we will come back and talk more about your plans for the future. I do want to introduce us all to Elias Miller, who is new in Columbus. First of all, what does an associate conductor do?
Yeah. First of all, I think technically I'm the assistant conductor, not yet the associate conductor.
I just gave you a promotion.
Yeah, I appreciate
write this down, Columbus Symphony. Anyway, assistant conductor, go ahead.
But the jobs are not different, really, on except the title. Assistant or associate conductors, we usually take care of a lot of the symphony's educational programming. So with the Columbus Symphony, I'm conducting in-school education concerts, young people's concerts, and family concerts. I recently conducted the Halloween Spooktacular. I cover, which means I'm the assistant conductor on our Masterworks programs. So, for example, we did Messiah last week. I was the assistant conductor. I sat out in the hall and I took a lot of notes, and I gave them to our wonderful music director, Rostin Milanov, when he was interested in them, which he often is. And also, were something to happen to him, I'm sort of his understudy. I would stand in.
God forbid. Yeah.
And then, additionally, in this position, I'm also the music director of the Columbus Symphony Youth Orchestra. So I conduct all of the youth orchestra's concerts during the year. We've got an upcoming concert on December 18th. We had our first concert of the year already back in October. And it's been such a pleasure to work with all the really talented young students of that great orchestra.
You have a fine orchestra in Boston, and I was looking at, which is full disclosure, my hometown, and I know something about this. But I was looking at the schedule for the Apollo Ensemble, and I was looking at their press material, and it's enormously impressive what goes on there. And I'm wondering how you're going to balance both of them, because I'm assuming you're not going to give that up. While you're in Columbus.
Yeah, the staff at the Columbus Symphony have been so supportive of me continuing to do my work in Boston. I've been able to schedule the concerts there for this year in a way that doesn't conflict with my responsibilities here in Columbus. So we're still doing 4 Masterworks programs during the year in Boston, and probably 1 or 2 concerts in the summer as well. So we've scheduled them during sort of dark weeks with the Columbus Symphony. And also I have a wonderful assistant conductor of my own in Boston who has been terrific at taking some of those responsibilities as well. We have a community run out concert, for example, tomorrow in Medford, and my assistant conductor will be conducting that one because I'm here.
When you got to Columbus, what did you find here? Were you surprised? Did you know anything about the city before you came here and took this position?
I'd been here just for the audition, which was over the summer back in July.
How do you audition to be a conductor?
It depends very much on the job, but for these assistant conductor auditions, there are usually several parts to them. I mean, certainly you do conduct the orchestra. If there's a youth orchestra position attached, as there is here in Columbus, you also conduct the youth orchestra. So I sort of had 2 separate conducting auditions, and I had a couple interviews as well. Often you'll have to do some sort of education presentation as well, which... one time I had to actually teach a class of like 20 third graders about rhythm, or sometimes I've had to present a script or a plot for an educational program that I might conduct. And then of course there's just the standard job interviews with the panel.
Well, I don't know you, but my impression is that in terms of teaching, you'd be a natural. There's something about you that I think you'd be very comfortable doing that.
That's very kind of you. I do have a fairly strong background in education. Yeah. I've done a lot of youth orchestra conducting, teaching, private lessons. I've done some college advising as well. So I've worked with students for many years.
So you may be young, but you are hardly a beginner. You already have quite an impressive resume. So we're delighted to have you.
I'm so happy to be here. That's very kind of you.
I will. I'm not that kind. And we'll talk a little bit more later. P.S. to everybody listening, by the way, the Columbus Symphony Orchestra and Chorus just did 3 performances of Handel's Messiah in the Ohio Theater. I've been around a long time. I'm an old man and I'm grumpy, but those were sublime performances. They were really some of the best I've ever heard. The choral singing, the articulation, beautiful. The playing was out of this world. Rustin Milanov and Stephen Caracciolo. Home run for that performance. Speaking of home runs, here's Chad Whittington, who's CEO of Kappa. You are somebody, you're the guy that makes it all happen, really. Because without you, we wouldn't have theaters, we wouldn't have marketing, a lot of the lights wouldn't go on. So tell me briefly, we're going to go to a break shortly. I want to come back and have an extended talk with you, but just sort of whet our appetite with what's going on at Kappa.
Well, we're headed into the holidays, so it's everything Christmas and holiday over the next month. And really, it starts this weekend. We've got a Celtic Christmas at the Palace, and then Hip Hop Nutcracker back at the Palace on Sunday,
which
is a great
show.
Tradition.
Yeah.
Very different take on the Nutcracker, but with hip hop music. But we have a loyal audience. We've done it, I think, 5 years now here in Columbus. And so it's become an annual tradition for folks, just like some of our other shows, Christmas Carol and Nutcracker and the Holiday Pops for Symphony. So, you know, there's something almost every day. All of our theaters have Christmas and holiday related programming over the course of the next month. So we're excited. It's one of our busiest times of year.
What is the difference between maybe, I guess you'd say, a rental and a Kappa presentation, or are they all Kappa presentations?
It's a mix. So rentals are shows where either one of the resident groups rent the building from us, and they figure out the production they're going to put on, or even outside promoters, Live Nation, AEG at times use our buildings. And so the difference being who's responsible for making everything work, from marketing to the financial results. So for Kappa Presents, we're basically paying the artist or the group to come in to the theater. We're absorbing all the costs and hope we sell enough tickets to cover those costs. Although in some cases it's not just about the financial side of things for us, and this is where Kappa Presenting, I think, becomes important to the community. We don't want to compete with the resident groups in terms of what they do, but we want to complement and make sure that people can see things in Columbus that any other major metropolitan city you go to, you can see. So we don't want people to go in other places. So we try and bring national touring acts here so people kind of have a full spectrum of arts to enjoy.
Well, certainly my friend and yours, Lisa Minkin, and Broadway in Columbus certainly is. I mean, it's hard to get a seat no matter what the presentation is. That's a rental, is that correct? Or
those are Kappa Presents.
Those are Kappa Presents in partnership.
With Broadway Across America.
Well, that's a tremendous boon to the. I mean, if you want to, for a good time, go to Broadway in Columbus at Kappa. Thanks to Chad Whittington for a really good time this weekend. You want to go to the Three Penny Opera at the Southern Theater with Opera Columbus, and for continuing good times, the Columbus Symphony with our new friend Elias Miller, who is the assistant conductor, not the associate conductor. He's the assistant conductor. I think in the promo I called you the associate, but
that's okay.
He's great. You know, he's great, and we're going to know more about him. We are going to take a quick break and come on back to more of All Sides Weekend Arts and Culture on 89.7 NPR News. Don't go away.
No matter what happens in Washington, the NPR Politics Podcast is here for you. For the latest news, insights, and analysis from the election and beyond, listen to the NPR Politics Podcast.
Matt Huffman is moving from Ohio Senate President to House Speaker, a move that hasn't been made in more than 100 years. And Attorney General Dave Yost, he's looking for a new gig, too, not in the U.S. Senate. A new video shows Yost eyeing the governor's office. We're talking all things politics on the All Sides Reporter Roundtable Monday from 10 to noon on 89.7 NPR News.
This week on Planet Money, a dock worker strike inspires us to look into shipping, ports, and why furniture travels so far.
Furniture is kind of like a cold sore, right? You don't want to touch it a lot. Okay. Every time you move a piece of furniture, you add an expense.
And on How I Built This, entrepreneurs get business advice from host Guy Raz and the founder of Everlane, Michael Praisman. That's on the next How I Built This and Planet Money from NPR.
Sunday afternoon at 2 on 89.7 NPR News.
We are back with All Sides Weekend Arts and Culture. I'm Christopher Purdy. I'm delighted to have your company. We are here with Julia Newland-Merat, who is the artistic director. Did I say that right?
My name or my title?
Both.
I'm the general director and
excuse
CEO.
Me. The general director and CEO. Read the contract, folks, of Opera Columbus. Chad Whittington is the CEO of Kappa. And Elias Miller, God help me, is the assistant conductor of the Columbus Symphony. It's been a long day. Bottom line is these are three very important folks in making Columbus what really seriously is now a cultural hub, is really a very, very important destination if you want great productions from dance to comedy to shows to Broadway to the symphony to opera to ballet. This is not a bad place to live at all. So I'm excited, particularly that a musician of the caliber of Mr. Miller has decided to make his home here and work with the Columbus Symphony, among other places. Chad Whittington, I just wanted to go back and just finish up. You have a lot of seasonal stuff coming out, Kappa. How many theaters now does Kappa run?
So we have 8 different theaters and a total of 10 spaces within those theaters. And that doesn't include the Drexel Theater that we manage in Bexley as well.
You also have the
Movie House.
The McCoy in New Albany, is
McCoy
that right?
in New Albany, yeah, we manage
Howie
that.
Howie Mandel's coming there.
Yes. I know, we're excited about that. That'll be a great show next February.
Yes, you have 8 theaters. So it's your job to fill the theater, to fill 8 theaters, is that right?
It is. We've got great resident groups here in Columbus, though, both the opera and the symphony, for example, that help us fill those theaters. And then we book around that and bring in tours from all over the country and international as well.
One of the big stories in the arts in Central Ohio is the projected new concert hall for the Columbus Symphony, which is projected being built on the riverfront. The plans look exciting. I'm just wondering how the rest of the arts community feels about that. I don't know. I'm not playing devil's advocate. I'm just curious about what you think that might, Mr. Whittington, do for the community.
Yeah, there's no question we need more art space in the community. We mentioned the Broadway series earlier, and having more weeks at the Ohio Theater for more weeks of Broadway in Columbus would be great, because really we've got more demand than we do supply right now in Columbus.
And you could sell every seat if you doubled that season, I think.
Yeah, that's right. We do sell every seat right now, and there are people that can't get access to the tickets they want. So I think we need to be thinking about space, and we all know that Columbus continues to grow population-wise, so the demand for the arts and culture is going to increase. It's great. It's tailwinds for those of us in this business, but we need to be thinking about how we're going to fulfill that. And I certainly think that a new concert hall has a place in that. I think the key in getting back to your question is, a design was put forward, and I think we're getting feedback both from the community and resident arts groups about, okay, how is that going to impact me, and what do I need as an organization to be successful in the future? And so I think we're still in the stage where we're listening to people and seeing how can we tweak the design and the ideas that we've already got to meet as much demand as we can for the arts. So I hope, my hope is that people haven't made their final decisions yet, because we're still listening to folks out there to make sure that we build the right thing for this community.
Just because there's one design doesn't mean it can't be changed.
That's right.
So it's I think it's fair to say the conversations just began and are now ongoing about that. Is the impetus behind it, at least initially, that it would only be for the symphony?
Well, I don't think it's ever been considered only for the symphony. The primary home for the symphony, absolutely. They need more control over the calendar than they can have at the Ohio Theater, just because the Broadway series gets first priority, just because of the nature of how that product tours. So they need more flexibility. They need to have a place where their primary home is also the home for their education program. So I think all of those things can be true, and it can also be a hall where other groups can use it and be successful and do new product as well. I think this will it can be a huge win for this community if we build it right.
I agree. I mean, I think also that I think the projected seating at this moment in the main space was like 1,500.
That's right.
And and if you look at any kind of concert hall that's older, like Symphony Hall in Boston, 1,500, the Severance Hall, that's basically what it is. The Symphony Halls were not designed, for 3,000 seats like the Ohio Theater, which was a movie palace when it first went up in the 1920s. So I wish them well. I think it's very exciting. I think it's great that people are talking about it. Julia, for Opera Columbus, what would you do if you had a hall like that?
Want
a hall like that? Because, no, I mean, you do very well at the Southern, which is, what, 8, depending, you can fix the Southern, 900 seats, yeah.
And we pack it. So,
you do? Yeah. Yes, you do indeed.
And but the acoustics are great for us there.
They sound lovely, and it's a venue everybody loves to go to.
Absolutely. It's gorgeous. And I think it is actually a highlighted feature in this production of Three Penny Opera. So you'll see the theater plays a role. And I think our lighting designer did a really good job of enhancing it. So I'm very excited about that.
I'm curious. I always ask you the same question when you come on the show, because I think it's important, because I really want, I want to sell tickets. I love the art form. I know the art form. But you know, oh my God, it's a bunch of people running around screaming in a foreign language. Why would I do that? Discuss. Okay, debunk that.
Yes, absolutely. So did you know that 80% of people who watch Netflix turn on caption? You do. I do. And so it's exactly the same thing when you watch opera, even though it's in a foreign language. And Three Pennies actually performed in English. We have captions, so you can follow along as you want. So there is that huge flexibility and makes it incredibly accessible. So
you mentioned also that because it's now in the public domain, you mm-hmm. can toy with it a little bit. You
yes.
can maybe rewrite some lines. Do you think that's important if you have a classic like Carmen or something to sort of goose it up a little bit and make it something that people might recognize as something from their own life or their own experience?
Absolutely. I think, for example, we're talking about Carmen, and Tizia, who was our lead in Carmen, is actually in our production. She plays Jenny in Three Penny. To have her live at the end, I've never seen a response like that in the audience in my entire
career. I'd never seen that, yeah.
It was incredible. And I think that the community tells us, she's getting abused the entire show. Why should she die? And I think everybody leapt to their feet because they were like, yes, absolutely. Enough is enough. And I think that's important to have those conversations
with our
audience.
That's a very good point. I hadn't really thought along those lines. Yes, good.
Yeah.
We are talking about arts and culture in Central Ohio with Julia Newland-Mera, who is the General Director of Opera Columbus. This is going to kill me. And her new production of the Three Penny Opera opens tonight at the Southern mm-hmm. Theater, repeats on Sunday, operacolumbus.org to get tickets.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Chad Whittington is the CEO of Kappa, and Elias Miller is the assistant conductor of the Columbus Symphony. He has been here since the end of August. We are hoping that he will have a very long tenure with us while he also departs to conduct elsewhere, as conductors do, as one does. Tell me about some of your favorite works that you particularly like to work on as a conductor, as either assistant conductor or the maestro. What's your passion in music?
Well, actually, I first got into conducting by way of opera. So it's very fun to talk to Julie as well here. I initially, after I left conservatory in my undergraduate years, I worked as a collaborative pianist and vocal coach for some theatrical and operatic productions, and I had a chance to conduct a Gilbert and Sullivan show, and then assist on some other shows like Stravinsky's Rake's Progress, and then ultimately I was the conductor of an early opera company in Cambridge for about 3 years. And did a bunch of pre-Mozart operas, which was really like...
When you say early opera, you mean, you know, before 1750, you mean...
Yeah, before 1770.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got to do some wonderful Telemann and Hasse and Gluck opera and things like this, which I've very much loved. In the standard orchestral repertoire, I'm a huge Tchaikovsky fanatic, unabashedly so. The Youth Orchestra and I are working on Tchaikovsky's Fourth Symphony right now, which has been such a pleasure, and it's going to be a great show in December. I just did Tchaikovsky's Serenade for Strings in Boston 2 weeks ago with my orchestra there, and I've done 4, 5, and 6 with my orchestra in Boston. I love that repertoire. A lot of contemporary music that I love as well. I work with some composers routinely. I've been working with a composer who's a friend of mine in undergrad named Sam Wu, who's a really wonderful young conductor and composer. But just did a piece of his, and have done several before, and hoping to do something of his here in Columbus as well.
Now, when people think of the Columbus Symphony, they think of going to hear Brahms or Tchaikovsky or Beethoven in the Ohio Theater with Russell Milanoff conducting, and as they should, because that's a fabulous experience. But they may not be really aware, unless they have kids in it, of the Columbus Symphony Youth Orchestra, which you are now conducting. So talk about the Youth Orchestra and your new work there as their conductor.
The Youth Orchestra is terrific. It's a huge, huge group. Almost 100 kids in the Youth Orchestra itself.
What ages?
So I conduct the Youth Orchestra, which is like the most advanced group. But there are several. There's more than one. And so the orchestra that I conduct is basically just high school.
Mm-hmm.
So 9th through 12th grade. And really, really exceptionally talented young musicians. Full orchestra, over 90 students in the group. You know, full complement, winds, brass, percussion, and large string section as well. Yeah, we do three main concerts, one in October, one in December, and then one in March. And then we also have a showcase where we're featured alongside the other ensembles within the Youth Orchestra umbrella. That's in January.
How much rehearsal do they get for each program?
We rehearse every Wednesday for 2.5 hours in the Davidson, which is, I believe, is another Catholic theater.
That's one of ours, yeah.
Yeah. And although occasionally we have to rehearse elsewhere. So we did rehearse it at OSU just twice. Twice this cycle we rehearsed at OSU, just across the street, basically. It's between 7 and 10 rehearsals each
for
concert.
For each concert, yeah. Yeah. When is the December one? And you've said Tchaikovsky's on the program. What else?
It's the prelude to the third act of Lohengrin. So a little opera on there as well. The winner of our concerto competition, who is a spectacularly talented young violist, won with the first movement of the Stamitz Viola Concerto, and then Tchaikovsky's Fourth Symphony.
That's December when?
18th.
And the Ohio Theater?
No, it's in the Davidson.
Fantastic. We look forward to that. That's good to know. I often, and this is true for you as well, I think, Julia, when we talk primarily about offerings, it's what we call main stage. It's people buy tickets mm-hmm. for and they go. But there's a lot more going on because you do a lot in the community as well. You have a vocal competition, and I think you do outreach, a lot of outreach programs as
well.
We
do a lot of outreach. We also have an education tour, which is called Jackie and the Giant Bully, which is in collaboration with Ohio University, which is really fun. So we go to libraries and schools, and it's set to Mozart music, so it's very accessible, but we also talk about bullying, which is also a very important conversation.
Right.
We do a ton of pop-ups, and if you register to our newsletter, they're all free programs too, which is really incredible. So
there's a lot going on, and I must say, and this is what I found in Ohio pretty consistently. The level is very high.
Mm-hmm.
The quality is really very high, particularly if you have things that are free. I mean, that's you can't really kick, but really the quality is terrific. Chad, what is the? We have two representatives of local arts groups here, ostensibly the in terms of budget and outreach, the leading ones. What is CAPA's relationship with organizations like Opera Columbus and the Columbus Symphony?
Well, we're certainly the landlord. We talked about the buildings earlier, but I consider the resident groups to be partners as well. I certainly hope they consider the same thing. A West Side Story that we're doing in February together is a great example of that. That's Kappa, Ballet Met, the symphony, and the opera coming together to put that production together really from the ground up. And I think it's fair to say we wouldn't be able to put something like that on without all four of us working together.
All right, so let's talk about West Side Story because we have the opera and the symphony here and we have Kappa. So that's going to be in February, mm-hmm. a big undertaking in the Ohio Theater. Is Remy State doing the choreography?
He's doing the choreography, yes.
Remy Wertmeyer, who is the also new artistic director of Ballet Met.
Yes.
That's a big dance show, a big sing show, a big orchestra show.
And it's Valentine's Day weekend.
And
that's a day ready for you.
Kind of a sad love story, but you know, we do get there. I mean, is she going to live? Are they going to live in the end? I mean, are you going to?
We will not change.
Oh, you can't change Leonard Bernstein. No, you can't change.
You can't change a single bar of music
no,
either.
In West Side Story, but that's a huge undertaking. So mm-hmm. talk about the process of that and your collaboration with everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the things that I love about working with Chad is, you know, we brainstorm ideas and then they come into fruition. And one of the things we were talking about is before I got to Columbus, we talked a lot about Twisted and how that was an interesting collaboration for the community and bringing all these audiences together because everybody goes to a Kappa venue, but they don't come and see all the shows. And so it was really to highlight all our strengths together. And that's like the most perfect piece for it. So it's incredible music. It's incredible dancing, incredible singing. And it's also something that your Broadway audience loves. So I think it really brings everybody together. We have four performances. So that's also a really huge opportunity for all of us. And it's been really fun.
Broadway
we meet like every 3 weeks and we dream of how we're going to do the show together. And that's really incredible.
Broadway and Columbus made in Columbus in terms of this production of West Side Story.
Yes.
Elias, what is the challenge musically of a show like that? Bernstein's pretty complicated.
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, I haven't studied the score in depth yet, but I certainly will starting probably soon. But yeah, I mean, there are always musical challenges in Bernstein's music. There tends to be mixed meter. There tend to be very complex harmonies. In an opera show, there's some sort of air traffic control necessities. You got to coordinate a choir, solo singers, and an orchestra and make sure that everyone is, you know, collaborating effectively and being heard when they should be heard and supporting each other in the right way. So I know that that Ross and Milanov, our wonderful music director who will be conducting the show, he'll be terrific. And actually, he has a really strong opera background, and his interest in opera was one of the reasons that I was so excited in applying for this job initially. So I'm quite excited to work with him on the production, and with Julie as well.
He has a great sense of theater in his blood, no matter what he conducts. He is always very exciting to watch and to certainly hear with the splendid Columbus Symphony, no matter where they perform. But in terms of a challenge of West Side Story, I saw the movie. Everybody knows the movie.
Yes.
No matter which version, they know the movie. So what's the challenge of doing it for an audience that thinks they know the show cold from the movie? Because there's a difference.
There is a difference, but it's also all the music that you love and enjoy. So I think it's kind of, we're seeing the reverse with Wicked, right? Everybody knows the production now. They're all going to go see the movie. So I think it's just from the get-go of walking into a theater, you know you're not going to see the movie on stage. And I think that actually frees us up to open, you know, our hearts and our minds to more imagination.
But not to be gross, but it is exciting to have the sweat flying off the dancers.
Oh, yes.
It really is. I mean,
there will be a lot of sweat.
It's great to hear live music in a symphony orchestra playing the show with a fine conductor, a wonderful conductor, and the singers you're going to bring along, and the choreography that Remy is going to do. Based on what I've seen of his work, I mean, he's made for this, I think.
I know, I'm very excited.
So, West Side Story is in February, Valentine's Day weekend in the Ohio Theater. Thank you, Kappa, for making that possible.
Yes.
And we will talk more about arts and culture as we continue our conversation in just a moment after a break. Don't go away.
No matter what happens in Washington, the NPR Politics Podcast is here for you. For the latest news, insights, and analysis from the election and beyond, listen to the NPR Politics Podcast.
We are back. This is All Sides Weekend. We're talking about arts and culture in Central Ohio. We are a very busy city with great quality presentations going on all the time. Thanks in large part to the good people at Kappa. Chad Whittington is here. He is the CEO of Kappa. Elias Miller is here. He is the assistant conductor of the Columbus Symphony. He got here late last summer. He is working as well with the Columbus Symphony Youth Orchestra. They're keeping him very busy. And Julia Nulle-Marat is the general director of Opera Columbus. Her new production of the Threepenny Opera opens tonight at the Southern Theater and repeats Sunday afternoon. Go to operacolumbus.org for more information and to get your tickets. Chad Whittington, we were talking earlier about holiday presentations, and you've got a special one coming up soon.
We do. We're really excited about A Christmas Carol. It's a long tradition. It's been at Thanksgiving. It's been Thanksgiving weekend at the Ohio Theater for many years. Pre-COVID, it was Nebraska Theater Caravan's touring version of the show. Unfortunately, it was a casualty of COVID, and it did not come back afterwards. And when we knew that, when we finally heard that it wasn't coming back for sure, we were trying to figure out. We had so many people saying, "When's Christmas Carol going to come back to the Ohio?" So we were figuring out, okay, what are we going to do now? And I was talking to Edward Kerrigan up at Short North Stage, and it came about that we decided, why don't we work together? And another example of great partnership in Columbus, the skills they have on the production side with the presenting skills that Kappa have, we decided we can bring this show back. And so last year was the inaugural year of the locally produced version of A Christmas Carol. Got a lot of feedback from audiences. One of the things we heard was we wanted the audiences wanted a more traditional version, more Christmas carols throughout. So it's still a play, but a play with music and a lot more than last year. So really, it's you can certainly see a lot of last year's great production in this one, but it's also, we've responded to the audiences. It's going to be more traditional, a little more upbeat. And so we're looking forward to it. I've read through the script, watched a little bit of rehearsal, and I'm excited. I think audiences are going to love what we've got for them this year. So three performances, one Friday, Saturday, and Sunday each at the Ohio Theater next weekend right after Thanksgiving.
And this is a collaboration with the Short Note Stage, is that right, with Edwin
Carnigan? It is. We continue to work with them, and you know, the idea is in the long term that will continue. And then after it leaves Columbus, it does go up to the Schubert Theater that we run in New Haven, Connecticut. So long term, we've got folks from Louisville coming up to watch this year. So I think there's an opportunity to take this production to other cities.
They could license it on a tour. That'd be fantastic. Yeah. Why not? I mean, obviously there's a need and there's a void, and people are delighted. So you're, we'll hear a lot of actual Christmas carols in the Christmas Carol. Is that how we're doing it?
We will, and Opera Columbus will be in the lobby before the production begins as well, so get there early to hear them. They'll get you in the mood for a Christmas Carol.
Well, if you need a Santa Claus or his helper, you know who to call. I mean, because the real one we know is busy, but if he needs helper, I've got the suit somewhere in my closet upstairs. So anyway, Julia, talking more about the Three Penny Opera, we talked about Kurt Weill and Bertolt Brecht. We talked about the sort of underbelly of life. There are comic elements. There are not so funny elements to this show. You've updated it probably a little bit. When you say you've updated it a little bit, how have you done that? Are there going to be things or words or whatever that an audience of Columbus, Ohio in 2024 might recognize?
It's more about Magda Knife is still an evil and terrible human, but we don't describe all the things that we used to describe because it is not necessary.
Right.
So it's more in that sense. And then it sustains and maintains the laughter and the joy that you're experiencing while watching the show.
And a little bit of the bite, too.
A little bit of the bite. Yeah, it's dark humor, I should say.
Okay,
yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
Okay, so.
But the other thing that I love about this production is how many Columbus-based artists are in it. And I think people are going to be incredibly blown away by their performances in this show. Robert Kerr is our Mr. Peachum, who I know is your favorite, I guess. and Hannah Bullock as Lucy.
She's fabulous, yeah.
Is knocking it out of the park. She's absolutely incredible. And Q Jones, he's our ensemble leader. So he did the adaptation that you saw for our Magic Flute.
Magic Flute, yes.
So now he's in the ensemble, but he's also the ensemble leader. So just incredible singing and performances, and I'm really excited for people to experience.
Q Jones is somebody who musically can do anything you ask him to do.
To call him a renaissance
man. Yeah, he's really something. He really can do anything that you want. Who's directing it?
So it's Austin Reagan. So if you've seen Little Shop of Horror off Broadway, or actually, now I'm blanking, the Neil Diamond musical.
Oh, Beautiful Noise.
Beautiful Noise, thank you. Who's coming to Kappa in April. That's his work.
Oh.
So he is an incredibly versatile artist and director, and his storytelling is very powerful on this.
That's the Three Penny Opera. That is tonight at 7:30. Is that right?
Correct.
And at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
Do you envision a time where you do more than two performances of something?
So I love that you asked this question, because we just received a national survey from Opera America, and we're getting a lot of feedback that people want more performances. We're actually adding a show next year, so we're going to four. We'll see how that goes. Woohoo! Very exciting. You heard it here first.
You're not going to tell me, though. You're not going to tell me, though, right now, are you?
No, I'm not.
No, okay.
But we've grown our audience's appetite for opera, that's very exciting.
You have. Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
Opera Columbus is a happening place. You're also getting a lot of national and some international recognition.
Yes.
You yourself have been traveling.
Yes, I have. I went to Munich in October because we got nominated for an International Opera Award for a Crane Directing Fellowship, which also our Crane Directing Fellowship was recognized at Big Arts Nights with the Dale Hidloff Award.
And
so
that is
a
what?
Big deal.
What is the fellowship?
So
what does it do?
Our Crane Directing Fellowship is really to provide an opportunity for BIPOC stage directors to not only learn as an assistant and an associate, but they also get to direct main stage. And that, we've learned, is a huge barrier in our industry. Is when other general directors, they'll say, well, what have you directed? Because everybody can assist direct or associate, but actually being in charge of the project.
You got the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's been amazing because our Crane directing fellows now have gone on to working at the Lyric in Chicago, at the Met, Detroit Opera, Los Angeles Opera. So it proof of concept. It is working. We are changing careers right here in Columbus, and I'm extremely proud of that.
It's working, and you had to go to Europe. You went to Europe to be recognized for it because that was the reach.
Which was incredible when you think about the, you know, like you're going up against the Paris Opera House or Sydney Opera House. That was really incredible to see that Columbus is now on everyone's radar.
It's a place to be if you love the arts. It's a great place to be. So, Elias Miller, that's another reason that we're glad you're here and that we hope that you'll be here to thrive. Tell me about your interaction with the musicians of the Columbus Symphony. Some of them have been with the ensemble for a long time. Some of them are relatively recent. But there is a lot of institutional memory. Not all of it great, but enough of it great. How was your interaction?
The Columbus Symphony is an absolutely world-class orchestra, and it's been such a pleasure to engage with musicians who consistently perform at such a high level. And not only that, but the orchestra has been really, really kind to me. I think we have so far a really great working relationship, and it's been such a pleasure to get to work with them in education concerts, family concerts, coming up some community holiday concerts and the rest.
The Columbus Symphony Pops, by the way, Holiday Pops is a big part of the community. I think it's the 6th, 7th, and 8th of December, I believe, that weekend. And that's always a sellout and always a lot of fun. And, you know, there's a lot going on. And then in the spring or after January through, I think, June, there are terrific main stage concerts with a wide variety of repertoire. There's a Mahler Symphony coming. There's Benjamin Britten's War Requiem, which is one of the great pieces of the 20th century. So they don't always play it safe. I mean, there's a great variety of offering there, done it at a consistently a very high level.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely, Rossin Milanov, our music director. It's not just the standards. There's all kinds of creative and interesting works. Even recently on the program, we did a Wagner Ring Without Words, which I was initially skeptical of because I thought the words are the whole thing. Well, not the words, but the singing is the whole thing. And I'd never encountered this version of it condensed into an orchestral symphonic work. I thought it worked brilliantly. The crowd responded very positively.
Yeah, that must have been Laura Mazel's arrangement of it. And it's a way to hear the music if you can't afford to do the ring, which most people can't afford to do.
That's right. And it's got all the best stuff in there. So. The orchestra sounded tremendous. It was a really great show. And you're right. We have incredible repertoire coming up. We've got, of course, the Holiday Pops, which I know Stu Chaffetz will do a fantastic job. He's our principal pops director. And I'll be assisting on those shows. And then I'm conducting some Holiday Pops runouts the next weekend, actually.
Yeah, talk about that, because again, I want to make the point that a lot goes on stage in downtown Columbus, but a lot goes on as well, not in downtown Columbus.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be visiting with the orchestra three communities outside of Columbus itself. We'll be in Lancaster, I think, on the 13th. Nelsonville on the 14th and Chillicothe on the 15th. I think I've got that right, but you may have to double check on the website. I'm doing a set of run out Holiday Pops programs with some vocalists. On one or two of the shows, we're working with chorus as well. So very exciting stuff.
Well, we are glad you're here, and we wish you a lot of success here in Columbus and certainly with your orchestra in Boston. And I know you've conducted in many other places as well. Do you have anything else exciting coming up that you have time to do? You may not have time. Do you want to talk about?
There's some things that are probably happening, but they're not certain enough for me to talk about them yet.
We're percolating here.
Yes, okay. But I do have a great season in Boston as well that I'm so excited to be a part of. We've got three more really exciting shows, one in January, one in April, and one in March.
I have it here. I could read it to you, but you know better than I do. Elias Miller is the assistant conductor of the Columbus Symphony. He is new to town, so make sure you go to the Ohio Theater or go to the Davidson. Remind us of the next youth orchestra concert again. You've already told, but remind us.
December 18th, Tchaikovsky 4, Lohengrin, Prelude to Third Act, and the Stamets, First Movement of the Viola Concerto.
That's in the Davidson Theater downtown, which is a cap of venue. Chad Whittington, after the holidays, you guys don't really take a break. I mean, you're right back there running. Anything else you want to tell us about to look forward to maybe after the holidays when, you know, when the in-laws go home and, my God, we can go out again? Or...
A lot of great Broadway shows left on the season. Peter Pan, I think, is what we come back to in January, but A Beautiful Noise, if you like Neil Diamond's music, and, of course, West Side Story, which I think we're all really excited about. I would just encourage people, go out to Kappa.com, go out to CBusArts.com. It's not only Kappa's programming there, but the resident groups, their events are listed. So, you know, I think we've talked a lot today about accessibility, no matter what your price point is, all the way to free. If you want to enjoy the arts in Columbus, there are opportunities if you go out there and look for them.
Yeah, they are there. Remind us, too, what CBus Arts is, because that's not terribly recent, but it bears repeating.
CBusArts.com is the ticketing website for Kappa. So if you go to the Kappa website or the resident groups and click on an event, it eventually takes you there, and that's where you go through the buying process for tickets.
For tickets as well. Now, after West Side Story, you have another show coming up.
Yes, The Marriage of Figaro.
Who's getting married? Does anybody actually get married? That I've never been able to figure it out.
It's like a double marriage, okay, sort of.
Yeah. That's Mozart.
That's Mozart. Yeah. And to my preference, that's his best one. So I'm very excited leading up to it. But our entire season, we title it Love is a Battlefield. Because, I mean, Three Penny, West Side, Marriage of Figaro. I think that's just they're perfect.
How much love is there in Three Penny Opera?
Oh, there's a lot.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Well, there's
also a lot of lust.
I was going to say there's Nookie, but I mean love, romance. How much romance is there?
There
romance?
Is love, romance. There's okay. There's a marriage.
All right.
So, you know.
Certainly there's great romance in West Side Story.
Yes.
And The Marriage of Figaro, which is Mozart, which is an Italian language opera, not written by an Italian composer. Are you doing it in English or Italian?
We're doing it in Italian.
Oh, are you really? Good.
Yes,
okay.
I know. Plot twist.
Yes. Well, no, but again, remind people if they don't, you know, why would I go see this? I don't know Italian. I mean, why would I do that?
So we have captions. So as you're watching the show, it is automatically translated so you can follow along, which is really great. And I should say we will also have captions for West Side Story.
Good.
So we're really making all our shows accessible.
There was a production of it on Broadway recently where parts of it were done in Spanish. Is that something you looked at?
We did consider it, but there's a whole other layer of royalties that are attached to it that are challenging. But our titles are going to be bilingual.
Tell me how you cast. What when you cast these shows, what are you looking for?
In general, or for West Side?
Well,
that one's a different beast.
In general, I think let's keep it general there.
I mean, we're looking for high quality talent. That is the most important musically. Do they have the chops to sing it? And then we talk about, can you act? Can you know things like that? So,
do you have to look one certain way to be successful in this? In other words,
no.
Do you have to be a magazine cover? Which that's I'm dating myself. There are no more magazines, but
I would say 50 years ago, probably, but. Not anymore.
Okay.
No, it's all about the performance. So.
And you have a resident conductor now, which means what for the company, Dr. McCorvey?
So working with Dr. McCorvey means we work together on the season planning, the casting, and also a lot of our community programming as well. So we just had a welcoming concert for him at King Arts Complex a couple weekends ago. So we are also talking about building more partnerships.
Will he conduct all the productions?
Not all the productions.
He's probably not available for everything because he's busy himself.
He's very high in demand as well. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but he will attend all the productions, and then work with us through.
Now, if I go to Three Penny Opera tonight or Sunday and I go early, what happens?
Yes. So there's a pre-show experience. So we have a bourbon bar where you can enjoy a cocktail. That we also have a magic happening on stage and also throughout the audience. And also you get to meet the seedy underbelly of London. So we have our vagabonds and our gangsters and our ladies of the night is what we're going to call that are creating a whole pre-show and really activating the space. So I think that'll be a really nice way to start off your evening.
If I were going to bring young people, give me an age cutout. Is there...
So It's 13 is what we recommend, on our website.
13.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Because I wanted to take a younger child to Ballet Mets Dracula, and then I looked carefully at the website and thought, maybe next year.
Maybe next year.
Because, which is a great hit, their production of Dracula, by the way. Chad Whittington, I want to thank you for keeping the lights on downtown. Very quickly, before we go, every time you come in, I ask you, the church on the corner right by the Ohio Theater, that beautiful venue.
Yeah, we're making great progress on that. We're in final design at this point.
Really?
We hope to start demolition and construction in early 25 and then open it sometime in 27. So still raising money. We're about 10 to 14 million, but we are so excited about that space. It opens up so many programming opportunities, reaching new audiences that we don't necessarily reach in the traditional theaters with sloped floors and fixed seating. So it's going to add a whole other dimension to CAP and what we're able to do in this community.
I mean, and the last time I was in that building, it had great bones. It was a beautiful venue. So, and I think you mentioned there's going to be retail or restaurant spaces upstairs.
The church is beautiful, and really what we're going to do is freshen it up. We're not going to lose any of the beauty that's there, but in the parking lot beside, we're going to build space for a bar and an area to relax after.
And
the
they're giving me the hook. I want to thank Julia Newland Merritt. Everybody go see Three Penny Opera this weekend. I want to thank Chad Whittington. Want to thank Elias Miller, the assistant conductor of the Columbus Symphony. New to town. Go and see Elias at the Ohio Theater. Go to the Davidson Theater December 18th. And go and say hello to Elias Miller and welcome him to Columbus. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend Arts and Culture. Thank you, Chris Johnson, for making it radio. Thank you, Marcus Charlton, for being our producer. And thank you all for listening. This is 89.7 NPR News.